Last month, the NCAA cracked down on Penn State as a punishment for the Jerry Sandusky sex abuse scandal. Now the organization is considering a tougher set of penalties for other schools that break the rules. Yesterday, the NCAA's Division I Board of Directors endorsed guidelines that would impose four-year bowl bans, more severe fines, and scholarship bans on college athletic teams that commit the worst violations. College coaches could also face season-long suspensions. Brad Wolverton is a senior writer for the Chronicle of Higher Education. And Brad, first of all, how much of a connection is there between these possible new NCAA rules and the Penn State fiasco?
Well, Penn State certainly quickened the resolve, I think, of university presidents to act and to come up with these tougher penalties. The changes were really in the works kind of long before the situation at Penn State came to light. I think it's been one of the worst stretches of behavior that you've seen in college sports in some time. Some of the most egregious cases of NCAA violations were, like, say, at the University of North Carolina. There's been widespread allegations of football and basketball players taking phony classes at USC in California. There's agents a couple years ago, who were reportedly funneling hundreds of thousands of dollars and providing free housing to the family of the star running back. And maybe one of the most flagrant cases we've ever seen of booster interference was at the University of Miami, where this convicted Ponzi scheme operator was paying dozens of football players to go to strip clubs and taking them out on his yacht and stuff. These were real threats to college sports, and so I think what you saw was university presidents step in and say, we're sick of this, we're sick of reading about these stories, and we've got to step in and do something about it.
In your story, you quote the president of Oregon State, Ed Ray, saying that some college coaches are frustrated because they're following the rules, but they feel like chumps because other coaches are getting away with bending the rules. How widespread do you think that feeling is?
The feeling that's widespread is that you have to cheat to keep up with everyone else who is. And so the coaches have found all these creative ways to get around the rules where they're not maybe directly implicated. Like, for example, they may run money to players' families or recruits through independent middlemen, or they get their assistants to use things like disposable cell phones so their universities or the NCAA's investigators can't see their improper calls or texts to recruits. They do these shady things where they work with shady parties, but they may not have their fingers directly on or their fingerprints directly on the situation themselves.
Brad, you mentioned boosters, and there's a change involving boosters that some people are pushing for. It would let the boosters of these big-time college sports programs pay the coaches of teams directly. Now, for people who aren't clear on exactly what a booster is, would you explain? And I want to mention that this morning we came across a funny definition of a booster as a fan with money. Does that about sum it up?
Exactly. It's the people who support your program the most, but they happen to have the deepest pockets. Well, this change is puzzling to a lot of people. I mean, at the same time, you have the NCAA saying that it needs to crack down more on these problems and have tougher penalties. They're basically saying that their rule book is too mired in the details, and so they're flashing it. They're basically saying, you know, we're giving this a huge rules makeover. And the Jim Barker, the president of Clemson University, who's been in charge of this rules makeover, told me that he could see what's now a 400-page rule book be reduced to less than half of that. So the idea is not to give boosters more power, the NCAA says, but to make colleges themselves more responsible for coming up with their own rules and enforcing them. And then if they break those rules, the NCAA is going to step in and hand down harsher penalties.
But if you're letting boosters pay coaches, aren't you giving them more power?
That's the big question. I mean, do colleges have enough self-restraint or even the power themselves to really stop these wealthy boosters from meddling? So I think you saw the situation with Penn State where the president doesn't even have the power to step in and fire the head football coach who's got this great following. And then a lot of these terrible things reportedly happen. On one hand, the NCAA is saying we need to let colleges make more of these decisions themselves and have more autonomy. But at the same time, the colleges themselves have proven that they don't have the ability to regulate these problems.
The colleges, of course, make millions from their sports programs. And the idea of paying college athletes has been floated lately more and more and more loudly. Now, I understand that the NCAA is actually considering that, or at least allowing them to earn some money from their performances. How would that work?
First of all, they get full scholarships. It's a lot of them anyway. And people say that that should count as payment. But there is another idea on the table, which has been to pay college athletes up to $2,000 toward their cost of attendance. For a lot of these full scholarship athletes, there's a $3,000 gap that their aid doesn't cover. So the idea is to at least cover that or give colleges the ability to cover it. The Division I board yesterday affirmed its support and commitment to giving that money to players, and it won't be implemented potentially until next fall. But I do think it's something that is not necessarily a movement to pay players, at least not one from within the NCAA schools. I think what you could see is there's a big lawsuit out there right now that could force the NCAA's hand, and a lot of people see the courts dictating that change.
Brad, at some level here, are these proposed changes by the NCAA an acknowledgement on its part that its rules have been a failure or at least ineffective and that it needs to focus on the bigger picture?
That's a good question. I mean, they have rules that are just in the weeds, and I think that's the whole point here. The NCAA is sort of taking itself out of the role of these unenforceable and inconsequential rules and sort of overseeing those.
You mentioned one that involves limits on cream cheese on bagels when an athlete is recruiting at a school, is on a recruiting visit.
Exactly. That's one of the most infamous rules, where if you put cream cheese on the bagel, then it's considered a meal. So now that rule would go away, along with a host of other recruiting rules. In the new world, the NCAA isn't chasing every little text message or phone call, but it's really going after the big fish. And then its idea is to come down harder on the programs or the people that violate those bigger problems.
Finally, Brad, we had historian Taylor Branch on the program last Friday. And as you know, he's been very critical of the NCAA. And he told us that the recent penalties against Penn State don't go far enough to correct what's out of whack in big-time college sports, especially football. You know, and this feeling that the sports programs really run the schools. What do you think about Taylor Branch's argument?
Well, I think that there certainly are concerns that the NCAA may have acted too quickly in penalizing Penn State, that it, you know, shouldn't have relied pretty much exclusively on the free report, and it should have waited maybe more for the criminal cases to play out against the university leaders to decide how it was going to penalize the school. And that it punished the wrong people, and what Branch argues is that it penalized the players and not the coaches. There's still lots of coaches out there who may have been involved and may have seen things and known things about Sandusky, and this NCAA should have come down harder on them.
Brad Wolverton is a senior writer for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Brad, thank you.
Thank you.